We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay, recapping another disappointing Nets loss tonight to the Raptors, 121-93. First game after the All-Star break, first game with Kevin Ollie as coach, and the Nets got cooked. We're going to jump into that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But getting to this game, you know, obviously Jacque Vaughn fired, Ollie in. There's some excitement, you know, maybe he'll make some changes. Maybe we'll see the young guys more. Maybe, you know, they'll employ some better lineups. Tonight, we didn't see that. We also didn't see them play with much more energy either. You know, you look at this game, one thing that stuck out statistically, the Raptors outscored the Nets in transition points 46-10. You know, a lot of those transition points, too, coming in situations where the Raptors had a man advantage because someone on Brooklyn was not getting back, and there just wasn't enough energy and focus from this team overall. And again, the Raptors aren't a great team. You know, they traded away Siakam and OG, and they're kind of just letting the season ride. The Nets obviously are trying to be competitive, you know, make the play-in given what they did at the trade line and not selling some of the guys in terms of Mikal Bridges and DFS and all those different things. But back to this game, you know, they got cooked in that department. They lost a turnover battle 19-10. They lost a three-point battle to the Raptors, and they lost points in the paint. So really in every area, the Nets got beat in this game, and the Raptors just looked better. You know, it looked like they were coached better. I think defensively did a nice job of clogging the paint and then rotating out. And the Nets, their spacing was funky due to lineups, but also just overall feel of playing with each other. You know, you look at this team as guys are constantly like in each other's space offensively and allowing one defender to defend two offensive players. It's just bad basketball in an array of different ways. And again, with some of the lineups we're seeing out there, it's not good either. You know, you're playing Nick Claxton and Ben Simmons together, or you're playing Ben Simmons and De'Ron Sharpe, and then also you're playing Dennis Smith Jr. Dennis Schroeder doesn't really like to shoot threes either. So now you're playing all these guys, and you don't have an elite offensive player that's necessarily sucking two or three defenders in all the time, or a guy that can do that and make the right read and really generate an advantage for the offense and, you know, get that defense moving. So the lack of spacing combined with the lack of talent and offensive feel and offensive system, it's a disaster, and we saw that tonight. And if someone's not on a heater, or someone's just not really cooking and playing well, or the other team's just bad defensively, there's going to be an offensive struggle. And, you know, I get you want to play Ben Simmons, but it's almost in a situation where if you're playing Ben, you really just should not play him next to Nick Claxton and De'Ron Sharpe, because when you do, it becomes a disaster in the half court. Because Ben, if he does not have the ball in his hands in the half court, he's not providing you anything. You know, even in that dunker spot, he's not very active, and he's not great in finding the right spaces. You know, he's constantly kind of getting in the way and clogging the offense up. You know, when he does have the ball and he's trying to get downhill, we saw him have a nice possession this game driving on Scotty Barnes and a little bully ball. You know, if he did that consistently, that would provide something different, and you'd want to get the ball in his hands more. But also when you're playing with Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, Dennis Schroeder, and these different guys, and Lonnie Walker, you know, they're going to need the ball as well. So I think the whole situation with Ben is you probably need to find a bench lineup that really utilizes him and allows him to kind of just play his style of basketball and keep the ball in his hands consistently. And that'd probably be something with DFS, Cam Johnson, maybe Lonnie Walker, and you know, you could throw Mikal Bridges or Jalen Wilson in that lineup, and you'd have good spacing, and then you'd also obviously have a little bit of size with DFS and Cam Johnson, or two guys who did not play very well tonight, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But sticking with Ben and the overall spacing, because it also just lessens the ability of other guys. And that's not just, you know, saying it's not their fault as well. You know, you look at Sharp and Claxton, you know, they're not providing spacing, so obviously that hinders the ability to play them in different lineups. But you know, you like to see Claxton have more room inside, rolling to the rim, catching oops. There's a couple times where, you know, it's just very clogged and he has to tip it in, or someone's throwing a bad pass. And also, I think, again, getting back to the other spacing of the rest of the team and the overall feel, is guys are not shifting to the open spaces and forcing the defense to move. It's just so much ball watching and bad spacing. So there's just so many bad elements to an offense that already doesn't have enough talent and doesn't already have great tools. It's just looking really, really bad out there. And I'm not sure, you know, how much is going to change over the course of the next couple games, but hopefully over the course of the next couple weeks, they can make the right adjustments and find ways to be more effective offensively, because a lot of what they're doing right now is just bad basketball, and it's putting guys in bad positions. But I guess getting to someone who had, a solid game tonight was Mikal Bridges, 21 points, 7 of 16 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 turnover. You know, he wasn't amazing, but I thought he did his job. He was good enough for the Nets to win this game. You know, he looks better again playing off ball when somebody else is creating the offense, and he can just attack when he feels the need to. You know, I like the aggression from three-point land, 4 of 10. There were probably a couple good defensive possessions and some just overall active plays. You know, I thought he had the right mindset, especially in the first half when the Nets were really in this game, and probably in that third quarter too. So solid stuff from Mikal. You know, nothing crazy, not bad, not great, but good enough. Over to Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, I thought it was a pretty bad game for DFS. You know, you have 3 turnovers, you have 3 points, you have 4 fouls, you only play 15 minutes. You know, defensively, I didn't think he was great. Obviously, fouls, you know, hinder his ability to impact the game. So, just not a great performance from him. Nick Claxton had a couple flash plays. You liked the 10 rebounds. You know, I thought 3 assists, you had a couple good passes in there, but overall, not impactful enough consistently. And he's a guy that's being directly hindered by having to play with Ben Simmons offensively in terms of the scoring department. Already not a deep offensive bag. Now you're already, you know, making it tougher out there for him to be effective. So again, that's really something that they have to figure out with the lineups, stagger guys, whatever it is, got to do something. Cam Thomas, first half of this game, not very good. Second half, you saw him kind of find some rhythm, but still a lot of learning out there for Cam, especially with the way defense is starting to play him. When he gets downhill, you know, he's seeing multiple bodies, and I think at times it's tough because you're not playing around the best talent, but you still have to make, you know, that kick out pass and hope that the offense can generate an advantage and maybe the ball get back to you or a better shooter on the floor. So learning is still out there for Cam, but again, you know, that's what we want to see over the course of the rest of the season, is him figuring out a way to be effective. You like the 4 assists. Hopefully that's kind of becomes his baseline, given what he's starting to see and his understanding of ability to make his teammates better as well. Better spacing lineups, more cohesive lineups, you know, lineups that just have synergy will benefit that as well. Over to Dennis Schroeder. Not a great game from him. 4 points, 1 of 7 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. When he's not able to get downhill, get to the rim, there's not a lot of space, he's not very effective. Again, he's not a guy that loves to shoot the 3. Over to De'Ron Sharp. You know, solid game for Sharp. Nothing amazing, nothing terrible. I think maybe the worst thing you saw defensively, the foot speed against a guy like Emmanuel Quickly. You know, he can get cooked and give up that gap at the rim. You know, I think you saw RJ Barrett do that to him as well. But as a backup center, you know, he's okay. You'd like to probably just continue to see him improve.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Cam Johnson, probably one of the worst players tonight along with DFS. You know, that forward position, you know, getting 6 points from Cam Johnson, 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 6 from three on probably 4 wide open looks, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. You just need more. You know, there's too many guys you're counting on not playing well. You know, and we talked about this in the pod before the All-Star break, and, you know, Jock Vaughn was a huge issue and definitely hindered guys' ability to be successful, but also guys just aren't playing well. You know, you have two guys in DFS and Cam Johnson and Ben Simmons, where there's an expectation for you to at least be solid, and I don't think any of those guys were solid tonight. So that's just not going to work for you. And probably the same thing with Nick Claxton. I wouldn't say Clax was solid tonight either. You really had Mikal Bridges solid and Cam Thomas all over the place in this one. So you're not getting good performances. And then over to Lonnie Walker, who looked, you know, started the game, had some pop. You liked the ability to get downhill, but 4 of 13 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 11 points. You know, you need him to be more efficient. You know, some of the stuff is positive and you like him being aggressive, but efficiency would help. You can see, you know, how he will be effective for this team the rest of the season. Dennis Smith Jr., you know, we talked about him a lot this year. You know, his defensive ability is great, but his offensive ability hurts the team. You know, similar to a Ben Simmons, he doesn't shoot threes. He had 4 turnovers and he didn't do enough defensively to make up for that. So that's where it's going to be an option for the lineups the rest of the season. You know, what do you value? Where can you find success? And how can you balance offensive defense? And also, you know, at times maybe you can't and you just have to lean into the offensive lineup because it's more important to score points than get stops. Like, that's just how it is. And if the Nets can't score points, they're not going to win games because their defense, we know, is not going to be good enough regardless. So I think you have to try to lean in a direction. And I think offensively, it's probably easier to develop guys in a lost season than it is defensively. You know, defensive teams are typically playoff teams or teams that are very locked in all season long and have veterans. That's, you know, that's not, and they're also good from the start of the year or they have some type of pedigree. This team does not have that. So I think leaning into the offense and letting guys hopefully can excel moving forward. Trenton Watford, Bates Diop and Jalen Wilson all played garbage time. Again, yeah, just Jalen Wilson played garbage time, did not get in the rotation. Ali went with multiple guards, you know, at the point guard, small forward, and shooting guard position rather than give Wilson a try, who's been shooting really well from three and also has just been effective in terms of providing that energy and effort that he talked about a lot in his presser to join this team. So, you know, disappointing not to see him play. But again, this is only one game post All-Star break. We'll give them some more opportunities to get a few more practices in, make a few more adjustments. But this was as bad as it really can get coming out of the All-Star break. You know, you got blown out by the Raptors, a team that's not necessarily trying to win games. You know, one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference, and the Nets fall. And that's kind of where they're at, and that's the continued trend. And it's definitely disappointing after the hope of there being a little bit more juice and excitement with this team. So Not really much more to go in on this game overall, but continuing to kind of talk about the Nets, you just need to see a direction. You know, if this continues to be the trend over the course of the next, you know, couple games, you really want to see them lean into those young offensive players, those rookies, and really give them an opportunity to go out there and play. And also, I think I'd like to see maybe even like Lonnie Walker get more of a shot to have a better understanding of who he is. So when it comes to the offseason, I know what type of contract. Do I want to give him that full mid-level exception? Is he a guy that I believe could be part of this team for the next couple years in any type of situation, you know, competing for playoffs, championship, or even if we went to a tanking route, you know, he's a guy that maybe could carry value if I have to trade his contract in a year or two. So I think finding out information on guys like that is important. I also would like to see probably Trenton Watford a little bit more, given that he provides a different skill set. And also, maybe you just let him shoot volume from three and say, hey, like, if you can do this for us, you know, there's a role for you here for the next couple years, because there's always an opportunity for a big that can knock down threes. You know, he could develop more defensively, obviously has good ball handling skills, can pass, can create and finish inside. So, and also young, you know, we're talking about another guy under 25. Like, if you can take advantage of the opportunity and that you're going to have at the end of the season where games aren't really truly mattering for you, you need to figure out what you have moving forward to this roster, and are there guys that you want to commit to and don't want to miss out on? And that's going to be something that's really important. And again, the season's not over after this game, but if it continues in this trend, you have to kind of just pull the plug early and lean into development, even if you do not have your pick. But overall, you know, hopefully we get more as Nets fans. And big thanks to everybody for listening to the pod. It's been rough out here, but your listenership is very much appreciated.